Nothing heard, which is always a good thing.
This is KD2BKD. I will be using the call sign K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio's TechNet to start it off with before Gordon gets here. So if there's any check-ins, I'd like to start with Kilos, just as Gordon would start with a specific letter to keep everything under control. So any Kilos want to check in, call out K2BAR.
N-K-2-B-S. Repeat.
Connected. W-A-2-U-M-P. Connected. W-1-M-L-L.
Here's Duffer. Good evening.
Okay, good evening, Steve. That was K-A-2-Y-R-A via Echolink. Any other Kilos out there? Other Kilos heard. I'm going to take, starting with Whiskeys and also Echolink. I see two Whiskeys with Echolink out there.
WA2ISC, Bob here, no traffic.
Okay, we have WA2ISE, Bob, no traffic. Any other Whiskeys out there?
Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilo, W2JEK, done with a comment.
Okay, just let me get that. It was that W2JEK, Don?
That's correct, W2JEK, via radio.
Okay, thanks. Any other Whiskeys out there?
This is WA2UNP. Jin in Hamburg, New Jersey, joining from Echolink.
Very good, Jim. Let's just have anybody. Anybody wants to call in that has not already checked in, please?
K2BER, this is Alpha Lima, Zero Yankee, Ali from Wayne, with long query to the net.
Okay, have you, Ali? You have a comment for the net?
I have a technical query, actually, about antenna grounding. Maybe after the check-in, I'll mention that.
Okay, very good. Are there any other check-ins this evening? Call out K2BAR.
K2BAR. Echo Golf, no traffic.
Okay, just to confirm, that's K2 Echo Golf?
That's K2 Papa Echo Golf.
Okay, roger that, got that. Thanks for checking in. Any other check-ins this evening for K2BAR TechNet?
This is Whiskey One, Mike Lima Lima. Mike on Cape Cod.
Oh, very good, Mike. Good to hear you in there on this TechNet. Any other check-ins? Okay, so just to run down the list, it's KA2YRA, WA2ISE, W2JEK, WA2UMP, AL0Y, K2PEG, and W1MLL. And the two people I have that wish to make comments or questions are Don, W2JEK, and Ali, WLOY. Are there any other people that want to make a comment or question this evening? Nothing heard, so we will hand it over to Don, W2JEK, for his comment.
All right, good evening, K2DR and the net, W2JEK, and thanks for running the net. I hope Gordon's enjoying his pizza. One thing, there are some tentative dates for VE sessions on the Barrett net. They are tentative, one in September and one in November. I haven't confirmed them with Jim Joyce yet, but I want to make sure that before anybody gets too set on these, you'll have to find out whether they can be used. Sometimes there are events that happen at the senior center that prevent us from having a test session there. Not often, but I always like to run it by him. So just keep in mind that those are tentative now, and you will. When I know they're right, I also put them on the AORL's website. So that's how you'll know. If you see them on the AORL's website, then you will know that they are official. Back to that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Don, for that. Next, Ali had a question, AL0Y, on grounding.
Excellent control. I actually have a weird situation that I've been experiencing lately. I'm actually using a Mac mount for my dual bander antenna, the VHF, UHF, connected to my 10-watt CM-V71 radio. For all voice communication, I don't really have a problem of noise at all. However, lately I've been having noise when I'm actually using my radio for packet communication. And the only way I can get rid of the noise so that the signal can be decoded is pretty much by touching the ground thing on the transceiver itself. Just by touching it, I clear all the noise and I get a clear signal for the packet, so I know for a fact I need to ground my transceiver. The fact that I'm actually in an apartment and I don't have access to a ground route, I'm not sure how to ground my transceiver and if I should actually connect it to the ground line in my bar outlet in the house home. Back to that.
Okay, this is K2BAR, TechNet. Let's see. I think that the screw of the center screw of a ground on your outlet may be good enough. That should be grounded to, and you can test it out. They have these little yellow AC testers. You can tell, and it'll tell you if. Will it tell you if it's grounded? Not necessarily, but it'll tell you if the connection's correct. It won't tell you if it's actually grounded to anything, but you could try that, just the screw on that. The other thing is you're connecting a computer to your radio. Do you have a transformer in there, an isolation transformer in that audio path from the computer to the PC?
Well, the radio itself is not directly connected to the computer. I have from the radio to a TNC, and from the TNC to the radio to TNC, and then from the TNC to my laptop. I was suspecting that the laptop itself is kind of picking up RF or even AC noise. I usually use my computer on battery. The internal battery for the laptop, I mean, when I'm trying to use packet, still that doesn't go. I even tried to use my my radio on one of those Bang & Olufsen batteries, and still same noise. So it's not an AC main noise or AC bar noise. I'm not sure where it's actually being picked up from, but the only way I can get rid of it is actually by touching the transceiver when I'm receiving.
W2JK.
Okay, go ahead, Don.
Maybe there's some, I don't know just exactly what you say. You're just touching the transceiver acts as a ground. What band are you operating? Are you on 2 meters or 440, over?
That would be 2 meter, AL0Y.
Okay, is that 2 meters or 440, over?
That would be 2 meter, specifically at 145.010.
It's on 2 meter band. I was going to say, take a clip lead with about 19 inches of wire and clip it onto your antenna connected to the ground and see if that makes a difference. So somewhere, in other words, that's the other, in other words, your 2 meter handheld, if that's what you're using, or whatever your radio has, should have a ground, something that simulates a ground. It's just a piece of wire that's a quarter wavelength long, say about 19 inches. Might do, just do the trick of, if, like if you had a handheld where you had a antenna connector, maybe the ground is missing, or what is your magma actually connected to? Maybe that's another question, over.
Well, thanks, Ben. Okay, I'm using, the radio itself is Kenwood Radio. It's a mobile, or a base station, I should say. The TMV71, if you know it, and my mag mount is not really connected to anything except it's on top of a 2x2 metal sheet that's not really connected to anything. It just sits on top of my wood desk, so it's not really connected DC to anything.
Okay, in other words, your mag mount has a ground, supposedly has a ground. Now, that's metal sheet. What kind of metal is that? Is that a steel or is that something else, over?
Just steel. Yeah, that would be steel sheet.
You'd have to have some steel that your magnet would attach to. Yeah, well, that could be, unless there's a possibility that the ground connection, if you could take your antenna off, and see if it you actually have continuity to the antenna. I think you go through a coil in the base of the antenna somewhere. But if you have, if you you would have some kind of a connection to the, if you can test it. I don't know that it's available to you at the end of the antenna where the antenna itself is, or to be able to test that the coax is good from your receiver or your transmitter or wherever the cable between the antenna and whatever it goes to is good. It might be a bad connection one way or the other. Over.
Honestly, I'm not sure how to test a mag mount antenna for DC connection. However, I tested the SWR when I'm transmitting. It's 1.1:1, so I'm assuming that there's no problems with the antenna. Plus, when I transmit or receive on voice, it's not like I actually hear noise that kind of throw me off. It's just that it's definitely pickable by the DNC to decode the packages it's receiving back to you, ALZY.
Yeah, okay. Well, you say it works with you when you're talking voice, and there might be something else involved with this. But you say you're adding a ground, let's say, to the radio itself, and if you put try just clipping a 19-inch piece of wire and see if that makes any difference to you. Then you know something has to act as a ground somewhere along the line. Not a ground per se, like you drive a ground rod in the ground, but an RF ground, as you say, like a quarter wavelength of a wire would be appropriate for the 2 meters. Over.
All right. I will try that, and I'll see how that goes. Thanks again for all the information and for the suggestion. I will try that. Thank you again, and AL0Y, back to that.
Okay, thank you, Ali, for that, and Don, thanks for the help. Maybe I see our technical expert, W2TTT, on EchoLink. Maybe he has something to say about the grounding issue. This is K2BAR, and maybe Gordon would like to take over as the control.
If I do or don't, that's going really well without me. Pardon me, everybody, but I had to get some dinner. I just did. Noon was a long time ago, and I was really getting hungry. But anyway, your problem is grounding in your apartment. The best I can offer you is stick a discrete ground rod right against the building and run a piece of braid up and into your window like a flat, like a 2-inch woven braid up into your window.
That would work really, really well, over.
Connected, W1MLL. Connected, W1MLL. Connected, W1MLL. Connected, W1MLL. Connected, W1MLL. Connected, W1MLL. Connected, W2TTT.
I heard you, Gordon.
Here you go, then. I was just waiting for the Echolink announcement for the connection. I can try that. However, due to the restrictions, as you understand, I'm a rental apartment. I'm trying to avoid that unless I really have to. But I guess I'll try the ground thing that Dan was mentioning. And I'll see how that goes after that, and I guess based on that I'll do whatever arrangements or adjustments that I need to my ground system, which doesn't exist as of now, but we'll see how that goes. Thanks again, AL0Y.
Okay, very good. That's pretty excellent. Let's see, anybody else have any comments on this topic of grounding in general? And I'm just curious, over.
WA2UNP with a comment.
Go right ahead, Jim.
NK2BS, repeat.
Yeah, okay. I've been in that situation where I've had only indoor antennas, and it's a bit challenging. What you can do is a cold water pipe. It always makes a fairly decent ground, depending on what band you're on. And if you can't get to a cold water pipe, you can use a hot water pipe by connecting to the radiator. And, of course, the length of the wire to the radiator, and by radiator I mean the gizmo that puts out heat in the apartment, not something that radiates, the length of the wire to it is going to impact the nature of the ground, but you could try that. That's one thing. A last resort, and I've used it before in an apartment, as what Bob mentioned, is the electrical ground on the outlet, that center screw. The problem with that on receive, that can be very noisy. Okay, so a cold water pipe is best, a hot water pipe is second best, and the conduit for the electrical AC is third best. So that's just a couple of suggestions. Back to net control.
Okay, yeah, I would agree. Absolutely agree. Let's see. You know, one of the things that I know I'm looking at doing is taking a bunch of short ground rods, which Bob was kind enough to provide me, and make a ground field that extends between my towers. And that's a really good thing to do. The idea is that, you know, every 6 or 8 feet you drop a ground rod in the ground. The ones that I have access to are only 4 footers, but I do have one 8 footer and that I have spare, so I'm going to pound that in at one tower. I've got 2 already in by the other tower, and basically I'm going to bond it together with either double aught or triple aught, or with 2-inch braid that'll be clamped to each ground rod as it goes. So we'll see. Should be quite an adventure. We'll see how that all goes. But that should help bring down some of the noise. I have an additional problem in my shack in that it's on the 3rd floor and it's loaded with computer gear. So you can imagine that my noise floor is non-trivial. Even my HF antenna is only about maybe 10 feet above, well, probably about maybe 5 feet above the house, where at the center point, and that's a problem. So anybody else on this topic? W2TTTK2BAR.
W2TTTWA2ISC. Thought comes to mind that you could, if you have a cable TV jack and you don't have cable TV service hooked up, that the outer jacket of the cable TV is usually quite well grounded for various reasons. If you do have cable TV service, it probably will be a bit noisy, though. Back to you.
Yeah, that's true. You have to be thoughtful of that. I'm not a big fan of using the ground for the cable TV. They use either, there's already two ground rods at my house. One is for power and water, and the other one is for cable. And they're about 6 feet apart, and nowhere near either tower. So it's kind of bizarre. But they're all in a line along the side of the house or along the side of the garage. And the driveway, you know, goes from one to the other. So I can, that's how I intend to bond them in a straight linear fashion. So we'll see how that goes and see if I can bring my noise floor down and improve my overall noise floor and improve my counterpoise. In an ideal situation, I'd take about 8 of those ground rods and put them in a circle and put them on the ends of each radial and then put a 10-footer in the center in the ground. That would be really, really good, but alas, my property is so short that like a 40-meter vertical would just be pointless. Well, it wouldn't be pointless. It would just be challenging. So we'll see if I can get the ground plane up. Besides, elevated radials have another advantage, too. If I was doing 80 or 160, I definitely would think give that more consideration. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, then let's go to the next topic. Bob, what is our next topic?
Yeah, well, Don commented about the VE sessions of September and November, and the only other person that had any question was Ali. That's all there was. Everybody else is just listening in. This is KD2BKD. Back to K2BAR.
Alrighty, well, when this net's over, I'm going to, among other things, drill a hole or two or three in my DeWalt case to accommodate at least power and Ethernet through waterproof bulkhead connectors. Looking forward to doing that. I do have a couple of for sale or swap items if people are interested. Number one, I have a ICOM 746 Pro for sale. I also have a Flex 5000A with dual receive and the automatic antenna tuner. By the way, both radios have automatic antenna tuners. And then finally, I have a 65-watt, 2-meter-only, Kenwood mobile that's absolutely lovely. I forget what the model is. It's actually in the box. So new. It's a delightful radio, 65 watts on 2 meters, great sensitive receiver, and of course, a wonderful Kenwood audio. So if anyone's interested, send me a trip today Sussex with it, or I can bring it to Sussex to pick it, have you pick it up. But let me know. So anybody have any comments or questions about punching holes in go kits and what connectors might you put to the side of a go kit box, and Ollie's got a DeWalt GoKit box, by the way, that's outstanding. It is really, really pretty. Mine's a little less pretty, but got a lot more packed into it.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Connected, KA2YRA.
Gordon, are you still in frequency?
This is KD2BKD. It looks like Echo Link dropped. I only see KA2YRA. Are you out there, Steve? I see that Gordon got dropped, and also Jim and Mike.
Yeah, Bob, KU2YRA, I'm here. Yeah, it was weird. I can hear Gordon for a while. Everyone else disappeared.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're still there. The other guys, they just vanished. Says that you're the only one out there. I can view everybody that's on, so maybe he'll come back. I did get a text from Gordon saying he got knocked off, so... we'll see. I'll text him back and tell him to get back on. This is KD2BKD.
W2JEK, the repeater is still working.
WA2ISC here by way of old-fashioned RF.
I guess proof that RF still works. Yeah, it was weird. It sounded like everyone got dumped off and I logged back on via Echolink.
KA2YRA, this is KD2BKD. So you did get dumped off. I didn't see. I just see that you're still there. You got dumped off and came back?
Yeah, yes, I did, Bob. All of a sudden, it got really quiet. I looked over. I saw I was no longer connected to you, so I reconnected and back again. K2BAR in group, K2YRA. It's gotten mighty quiet again, Bob. I'm still listening. I don't see anyone else listed on Echolink from my side.
Yeah, this is KD2BKD. I don't see them either. I see only you out there. I texted Gordon, said Echolink is up. Steve is connected. So I told him that you're still connected, that or you're back. I don't think there's any other stuff for the net. If Gordon comes back, he comes back. Otherwise, I guess we're going to have to say that the net has ended. So this is KD2BKD, just waiting for W2GTT back on Echolink. Or maybe he can come back on RF, too. You never know.
So, here's an interesting characteristic, Bob. I need to, number one, don't use my Wi-Fi on my phone. And number two, I have to connect to something else first before I can successfully connect to this node for some reason. Over.
Connected, W2TTT.
Yeah, I have been experimenting and testing the Echolink connection here, and I noticed that if I have both Wi-Fi on and mobile data, and I go away from a mobile spot, or go away from a Wi-Fi spot and go to mobile data, in the transition, it kicks me off of Echolink. So you can either use one or the other. You can't have both on, because when the transition happens, Echolink knocks you off. I typically just keep it on one or the other, and I'm usually not on that long. Steve was on a pretty long time. He was on before 9. He was on at least 20 minutes. So I don't know. This is KD2BKD back to W2TTT.
Okay. Well, I was making some comments about the, the radios for sale, and there was one other thing, we moved beyond grounding, I'm trying to remember what it was, I was pointing out, but as I was talking about some topic, and I forgot what it was. But hopefully my items for sale got listed over. Bob, did I make it through?
Yeah, you made it through, no problem. I heard you on RF.
Okay, I was on Echo Link. Well, anyway, I had made a comment before about the possibility of having my ICOM 746 Pro for sale, as well as my Flex 5000 Day, and a 2-meter radio. What do you call it? Kenwood. What is it? TM. Oh Lord. Now I can't remember what it is, but anyway, it's the 2-meter, fairly recent TM. It's just a 2-meter only, but 65-watt radio. Anyway, I'm trying to remember. Ollie's asking me what am I referring to. Oh, I'll get up and I'll go look and let you know on the next.
KA2YRA disconnected. Connected. KA2YRA.
Yeah, it's a TM271A. TM271 Alpha. Literally brand new in the box.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
W2TTTAL0Y. Gordon, the V1, the 71 Alpha actually is a dual bender. It's not only 2 meters. That's 2 meters and 440. I said you were talking monobender. Back to you.
Is it a dual bender, the 271?
Affirmative, it's what I'm using right now. The Tango Mic Victor 71 Alpha is indeed a dual bender 440 and 144.
God, I've only pulled it out of the box once and just to check it out, and I'd never even noticed it wasn't just a 2-meter radio. So, the 271, does it have a separable. Control head. I mean, I know the receiver is god-awful wonderful. It really is a sweet radio. Maybe for that reason I should keep it, but neither here nor there. If I like operating 2-meter and 440 simplex, it might be a good radio for that because of the quality of the receiver. But, Is the control head separable?
Gordon, I think I heard you incorrectly. Did you say Victor 71 or 271? I was talking about the Victor 71. The Victor 71 is a dual bender. The 271, I'm not really sure. I just thought that you said 271 maybe. But I was referring to the V71, the Victor 71. Back to you.
Sorry about that. It's a 271 Alpha.
Then I think that's what I said. I'm not sure if that's a door banner or just 2 meter. I was referring to V71. My bad. Sorry for the confusion. And I take that bet. I can look it up for you if you want. What bands it actually covers right now, if you give me a minute.
Sure, go ahead, because I'm trying to avoid the dog right now and not to inspire disruption to Nancy. But yeah, that sounds great. Tango Mic 271 Alpha. It's a nice radio and all, but, I've only used it on 2 meters, and only very briefly, so, We'll have to see, but I've been tempted to keep it for 2 meter, you know, simplex activity. That's kind of fun to do. But, you know, a lot of people like to use other radios for that purpose. In any case, I am selling my 746 Pro, which is 2 meters, 6 meters, and HF, all multi-mode. And then I'm selling the Flex 5000A with the dual receiver and the auto tuner. By the way, the 746 Pro has an auto tuner in it as well. Very flexible one, not one of those little weenie 4-to-1 ones. It seems to tune much more challenging, much more challenging matches, if you will. So anyway, back to you, Ali. Let's drag your heels in case someone else wants to make a transmission.
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, just for kicks, I have the QST open here. They have it. Kenwood has a Tango Mic 281, a 281A, 2 meter mobile, 65 watts. So I'm probably at 271A is probably an early edition, over.
Yes, sir. Pardon me, the 221, 231, 41, and 51, yes.
EL0Y?
Go ahead, Ali.
Well, Gordon, I just looked up the 271 radio right now. It's actually a 2 meter only transceiver. It doesn't cover, it's only 144. Sorry for the confusion. I was actually talking about a different radio, so I apologize for any confusion on my half code. EL0Y, back to you.
Yeah, I kind of figured. That's all right. No big deal, but I was just kind of curious as to, you know, if anyone's interested in it. Yeah, that's brand new in the box. Anyway, let's see what else is going on and about here. Well, that's pretty much all I have in the way of for sale stuff, but I'm very excited over I want to talk about GoGal. We have work. Now I'm going to drill some holes in a little while, and as I said, put power and Ethernet cables through the sidewall of the box, you know, the DeWalt box, along the bottom pan on the sides. Over. Ali, I figured you might have a comment about drilling holes in the Go Kit wall. Over.
Honestly, I'm trying to avoid doing any alteration on the DeWalt case, being that it's actually an IP67. Not that I'm gonna actually like sail with it or anything, but I would try not to actually put any holes in that if I can actually avoid doing that. But it may be more convenient if you're gonna draw holes anyway to actually have external power connector, maybe some Ethernet ports as well. If you wanna go crazy, solar panel controller or charger. That would be among the things that I would like to see it connected if you're going to actually do some modification to the case itself. EL0Y?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Well, in all fairness, it's probably not going to be IP67 after I punch some holes in it, but they are waterproof connectors, so it shouldn't degrade it significantly. Over.
Well, as I said, Gordon, I'm not really expecting that we're going to take out on a boat and, like, sail it. So, I'm not really concerned about the IV-67. It's not that, you know, me personally, I try sometimes to keep that as the last resort, but you might as well at this point.
W2JEK, comment.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, if you've got these coax connectors or whatever mounted on the outside of your box, I've seen it on certain units. They have a cap that screws over to protect the cap, protect the unit, the center of it. A little thing with a beaded chain kind of a thing, so it doesn't get lost. And you could screw these things onto the top of it, especially if I know an SO239. I don't know. Maybe you get something similar for the whatever else you're connecting to. That way, you could at least keep the water out of them. You wouldn't have to worry about them corroding either.
Yeah, that's certainly a good point. Most of the connectors are Teflon and gold-plated, SMAs, if I decide to even put them on. There's some question as to whether I should bother at this point. And the other is, connectors are gold-plated, waterproof, Ethernet connectors, and they have a cover, so very similar to what you were suggesting. And the others are Anderson PowerPole bulkhead connectors, and I don't know whether or not they have a waterproof cap available, but they are waterproof. They do not feed through, if I recall. They feed through moisture, so we'll see. I could certainly test the connector before mounting them. Then I'd probably have to put it in the oven to dry it off. Put it on a blow dryer or something. Ali?
I would say if you're going to use such connectors, that should be fine. I believe, yeah, that would be my... to have them. Me personally, like in my case, for example, I know for a fact I at least do need power connector and Ethernet connector for the laptop. But I'm not sure what else you want to add, but these you can get them at least waterproof ones, so that should be easy to make back to you.
T2RIW. Good evening, Dick. Welcome aboard K2RW, K2BAR, W2TTT.
Yeah, I just came upon this station. Wasn't quite sure where it's located, what the PL tone was. Looks like I've figured out the combination. Not familiar with this repeater, as you can tell. Over you, Gordon, K2RIW.
Well, this is the home of the Bergen Amateur Radio Station Technical Net, 146-835. It's actually located in Pearl River, New York, just a few hundred yards into New York State, just north of Bergen County in Rockland. And the PL is 151.4. If you're using PL, it's 151.4. Or if you're using something else or no PL and the PL is turned off, so whichever. But you're all good. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, part of the confusion was I'm using the 2016 repeater directory, and Pearl River is listed as a PL tone of 141.3, which of course doesn't work. So I guess it got changed between then and now. Is that what happened, Gordon?
Well, what's the call sign, did I tell you? Because if it's NJ2BS... it's mine, and somehow that got a typo. If we do switch it over, it will be 141.4. 141.3, pardon me. But for now, the legacy repeater is running 151.3. So which call sign does it say in the directory? Over.
It says call sign of N2HDW.
Yeah, okay, that's not even right either, so God only knows what they have. Because it was W2UHF before I became the trustee, and that was about 4 or 5 years ago. Over.
Okay, so Pearl River, 146.835, 151.3 PL. What is the correct call that is now?
November Juliet 2 Bravo Sierra, New Jersey 2 Boy Scouts.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's had that call for roughly how long, Gordon?
About 5 years.
And this directory is quite in error, even though it claims to be 2015/2016. Okay. I was running through all the frequencies with my handy talkie. I came upon something called the technical net. I said, gee, that sounds kind of interesting. Oh, you're good. K2RIW.
Alas, it is nowhere as near as interesting as your TechNet. But, you know, then again, people don't like staying up till midnight plus in the middle of the week. Hi. But that's all good. It's great hearing you, and we're honored by your presence. So we're talking about Go Kits, and Ali and I each have a DeWalt case that we've placed different kinds but similar Go Kit type radio equipment. The initial ones we were working on were digital and mostly geared toward mesh, although I'm supporting DMR and the like, and I think Ali is as well, actually, if I think about it. We both have DMR hotspots built into a mesh network box with a cellular or uplink and also a, what do you call it? I have a cellular uplink. He's got a Wi-Fi uplink, but we also have a Wi-Fi hotspot and also various either 2 gig or 5 gig mesh equipment built into it. So it's kind of fun. Let me turn it over to Ali since I think he's texting away here in the background. Hey, L0Y, why don't you describe your Go Kit, W2TTT?
Well, thanks, Gordon, again. That's Alpha Lima Zero Yankee. Well, as you mentioned, I'm using the DeWalt case, the top system case, and by the way, I just happened to receive that from Gordon himself. Thanks for that. Hi. And inside of it, I made a sort of two-floor arrangement on the lower level. Inside the case, I have an Edgear A-port switch, and connected to that is another A-port dump hub for the VLANs of the Arden Mesh node. Also, two Raspberry Pis. One of them is running a PBX for voice over IP telephone. The other one is just used as a desktop Raspbian version with power management, power distribution on that level. On the upper level, which by the way is hinged into the first level, lit it up. On the upper level, I have a 7-inch touch screen for the Raspbian, for the Raspberry Pi, and also a bullet node, 2.4 gigahertz bullet node, that's also hinged on that level.
So when you close the case, everything just fits nicely inside the case. And when deployed, you can just like have access to everything. To add more stations or laptops or whatever to the hub, as well as probably connect some other nodes as well to the switch. I have two other places. I'm also running a Shark RF hotspot for DMR and Fusion through the mesh network. I'm only missing a Stellar Gateway right now, actually. L0Y back to W2TTT.
Okay, Ali, that's pretty cool. Anybody else, any comments about Ali's GoKit? And by the way, it is really awesome. He's the entire content is removable. And work. You can work on it. All the wiring, the two levels of mounting points actually ends up being three because they face each other, and then there's the top level. But all are, you just pick it up and unhinge it, and away you go. It's rather ingenious. We can actually send pictures and put them up on the ComTech group, Yahoo group, for people to see. If Ali's willing to do that, that would be excellent. Anybody have any questions or suggestions regarding such goodies? And I can tell you, I intend to drill holes in mine, but I'm more fearless that way. Over.
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
If you're going to mount an expensive radio in there, why don't you have keep the radio in a smaller box inside, like a 50 caliber machine gun box, if you can get the radio inside that. That way, if that connector does leak, you could very easily save your radio. Another thing is, why is it necessary to have all these connectors on the outside of the box where they can be damaged? That's another possibility, too, that you might want to avoid. Have something where you have a strip of connectors mounted, available right on the inside of your box where you can get at them, so and they're connected to whatever appliances are inside. That would save you a lot of worry about waterproofing. If waterproofing would be the lid of the box, and that's, you wouldn't have to worry about any connectors leaking through or getting smashed or anything like that. Over.
It's funny you should say that. I think that's Ali's argument, that I should basically just make a bulkhead over the lower section and cover up all my my wiring sins and use that as a way to mount connectors. I think the issue is one of making everything fit. There's not a lot of places to mount connectors vertically. My thought was I didn't want to have connections over the bulkhead if the box was open. It just kind of looked sloppy. But then again, compared to Ali's wiring, it is sloppy because mine's designed to be rearranged and such. His, if he wants to rearrange the cables, he's got to break out the cutters and, with a few exceptions, he's got quite a bit of flexibility built in, but if you really want to rewire things, it becomes a bit more involved. But I'm pretty impressed. I mean, if you saw how beautiful his craftsmanship is, it's a sight to behold. I was trying to at least get mine so that the box would run without requiring it to be open. So we'll see. We'll see. But that's a really good suggestion, Don. Anybody else?
L0Y.
Go ahead. And no data connector on the back, but it's got a rather detailed front microphone connector with much of what you need to put it on packet if you want. Over.
Well, I will check that. Anyway, back to the case, the DeWalt case. I would say yours is definitely more practical for field operations, for deployment. Mine just had to meet the main purpose of I'm being an OCD. So, like the wiring thing, it has to go that way for me. I know it's not really practical, or it's not as practical as yours, let's say that, didn't feel, but it's just how it needs to be for me. Back to you.
Okay, Ali, well, number one, I don't think mine's more practical. I think yours has practicality licked in form of stability, mine and maybe flexibility. But you've built a lot of flexibility into yours as well, so I don't think you have anything to apologize for. And as I said, your craftsmanship is just outstanding. Everything has turned 90 degrees. Everything's nice and pretty. I think the major difference is I've got two nodes in mine. You've got one. I've got a cell modem in mine. You have a Wi-Fi uplink. I have to change out my cell modem if I want to do that. And that is another question in its own right. So we'll see. All righty. I'm just trying to think, is there anything else people want to talk about related to this? But, we shall see. It's a really challenging question, isn't it? Anybody else? K2BAR.
W2JEK with another thought.
Go ahead, Don.
Any way you could mount a box on the outside that would be covering those connectors that could be easily removed or have a hinge lid or something. Not necessarily the connectors would be assumed to be waterproof, not necessarily the box. At least prevent them. At least a box that would cover them enough so that that box got hit against something that's protect the connectors.
That's another great idea. No, but we could probably look around for such a thing. Something like a sealable version of an outlet box, not just the ones with the clear plastic, but something that's a bit more robust and maybe discreet. The problem is there's other than the think of it as a briefcase. But other than the surface it rests on or the top of it, there's not a lot of expansive horizontal space anywhere on the sides. There's some on the sides for smaller things, but not a lot for bigger things. And you wouldn't want to put it on the top or the bottom because the cases stack and lock to each other, which makes transportation, especially if you're using the wheeled container on the bottom, is just wonderful. So you can either carry it like a briefcase or you can snap it onto a wheeled stacking cart and save yourself a lot of aggravation. Does that make sense, Don?
Yeah, you need to put it in a big box and pack it in somehow, like a big box that moved around on a handcart or something like that. That's a possibility, too. The thing is, you don't want to be out in the field and suddenly find out one of your connectors got messed up, bank broken or whatever. Unless you have some kind of an alternative way to get that antenna out to where it's connected to an external antenna someplace, some other way besides that connector on the side of your box.
No, I agree. And if I can find a small enough but functional enough waterproof box I could bolt to the outside of the thing to protect the feed-through connectors, that would be great. Yeah, absolutely, it would be wonderful. So when you want to deploy those connectors, you open up a little hatch, you plug your cable into the connector, and just let the hatch stay open on the side. That would be just delightful. It really would. Ali?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last thing. I was actually sending the pictures to the contact group. May you please just repeat that question again?
Well, Donna was suggesting that I put a small box where on the faces where the connectors come through. Basically, both a small box to the big box, such that it would protect the connectors from weather and abuse, mechanical and otherwise, dirt and you know, water and things. So I think it's a great idea. The problem is, as you know, there's only a very limited space in each corner on each side. So on the left corner, the left side, there's two spots on either side of the handle, and there's another one on the right on either side of the handle. You could conceivably do it underneath the handle, but then it would get in the way of the operation of the handle. And politics aside, but Peter Strzok looks like an angry man. Anyway, just watching the video silently, better that way. Anyway, do you get what I'm saying now?
Affirmative, yes. Actually, the idea of having a box on the outside, that's a great idea, actually. You might need to have it on the cover side of the case. And that would be in case you need to cascade that case with another one. This one will have to be the top one, if you think about it. But you don't want to have it by the handle. That definitely is going to go into the way. And I don't think you have enough space on the sides or on the back of the case. Maybe a little bit in the back. I'm not really sure if that can actually be drilled at, or like if it's easy to drill at the back of the case, but that's another possibility as well. Back to you.
So you want to, I see.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, K2BIR, WA2IC, thought crosses my mind, like if you could find connectors that don't have a above surface profile, like the old-fashioned Motorola car radio antenna jacks, or even like a headphone jack, so I don't think either of those are waterproof, or maybe you could find something that you could mount a BNC jack, except that the thing would be recessed, so that nothing protrudes above the plane of the outside case. So, back to you.
Yeah, it really is a good idea to protect the connectors. I do like that. Just have to do it in some way that's discreet and not too bulky or a nuisance. I mean, they make small little NEMA 3R plastic cases. The problem is that the covers are screw-on, and that's kind of defeats the purpose of convenience and such. So don't want to do that. Let's see what else. That's all I have, I guess, on that topic. Anybody have anything else they want to add or change the topic entirely? W2TTT.
W2TTT, W2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, I was on earlier, and I was on the first one to make a comment earlier on. I don't know whether you were here yet or not. But on the Barrow website, there are two VE dates that have not been confirmed by Jim Joyce K2ZO. They are on September 14th and November 16th. And usually what I do is I always check with Jim to make sure there was absolutely nothing going on that would prevent us from using that senior citizens hall. And nobody has contacted him. Somebody put them on. I don't know who. No care. I just want everybody to know that they have not been. It's temporary, or what do I say? Tentative. Tentative is the word. Dates. I may use them. I may not. It may be a problem. I will have to change one of them. I don't know. Once they are accepted, or we get dates, we have two dates that are firm. They will be on the ARRL's website. So that's what I can tell you about it right now. Over.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep us posted on the test dates for those months. That's a good point. All right. Anybody else have anything on the GoKit connector protection, et cetera? I might have doubled somebody. Okay, I guess that's it. Any other topics for the net tonight, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, well, gentlemen, I'm going to thank you all for your participation. It's been the liveliest net in weeks, so appreciate your inputs, et cetera. We'll wish you a fine next 2 weeks. I will not be able to run the net, but I will try to check in from wherever I am, if our schedule so allows. 73 and take care. This is W2TTK2BAR, signing clear.
W2TTT, disconnected. KA2YRA, disconnected.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. W2UHF repeater. This is an open repeater system. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Investigation of possible gas leak. So 1120 to 42.